This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Well, let's take a look at this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. We go back to 1955. Elston Howard, who will be named the American League's MVP in 1963, becomes the first African-American to play for the Yankees. The former Monarchs catcher will appear in 9 All-Star games and 54 World Series games, compiling a .274 batting average during his 14-year playing career. That's this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. Yankees could have used Elston Howard today, guys. Yeah. Their offense is just, in a word, troubling right now. And baseball's an easy game. If you pitch well and you score, you're going to win a lot of games. Except for Gerrit Cole, the pitching, the starting pitching has been dreadful. They have not given the team length. And because of that, you are really straining a bullpen. That is one of the strengths of your team. So coming into this game, the bullpen had a 1.84 ERA, which is the best ERA in the American League. But Loaisiga gave up a run in the sixth inning. And then Bo Bichette with a walk-off home run against Chad Green in the ninth inning. And the Yankees lose 5-4 to the Toronto Blue Jays. And you've had a lot of people texting me, you know, during the commercials of the game, Don and Peter, where they go, you know, this team really worries me. And I said, listen, they're going to score. I'm not worried about them scoring. They are going to score. But whether or not Kluber and Tyone and whoever's going to be the fifth starter are going to pitch well enough to give the Yankees a chance, well, I mean, that's another story. So Kluber had decent stuff today, but, you know, he lasted 4 innings. And yesterday, Tyone seemed like he had good stuff, but the location wasn't perfect, and he didn't go very long. And all of a sudden, you're asking a bullpen to get 15 to 18 outs every single day except when Gerrit Cole pitches. And that is a recipe, guys, for disaster. You can't win games like that because your bullpen is going to snap at some point.
No, it's going to get bad, right? You're going to get a bunch of days off early, but you don't get many as you get deeper into the season. And you just can't – I'm sorry, you cannot be a championship-caliber team if you've just got one starter and occasionally somebody else. You got to put something together here. And even though they're going to hit, Michael, and the offense will bail them out of a lot of situations, but I think what concerns the fans is that once you get to the playoffs, is this the way this offense is going to be when you're facing really good pitching, really good bullpens? Because that's been the theme for this Yankee team over the last few years, is this great juggernaut offense slows down, and it's so reliant on the pitching and the bullpen that who right now in a best-of-5 series, best-of-7 series, Michael, who are your pitchers after Cole?
I don't have an answer for you right now. I mean, let's say they make the playoffs. We all assume they're going to make the playoffs. Well, by that point, you're going to have Cole. You'll have Severino. And maybe they have to make a deal, or maybe somebody like Kluber and Tyone step up, or Jordan Montgomery really establishes himself. And, you know, already Friday, they're going to have to piece together a start either with the bullpen or they'll call up Michael King again. You know, it was supposed to be Michael King or Davey Garcia in a spot start. But Davey Garcia is actually throwing today the alternate site, so I don't know if that would serve as a throw day. But the bottom line is you've got an issue right away because you've already sent down Domingo Germán, who was your fifth starter. So this is I heard you say it to break, Don. You've played 3 games, 3 series against the Blue Jays and the Rays, 1 against the Rays, 2 against the Blue Jays. You've lost them all. And now the Rays come to town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you have kind of a toss-up who's going to start on Friday. Then you've got Montgomery on Saturday, and then the one guy that you depend on, Gerrit Cole, on Sunday. So coming into this game before Kluber gave up 3 runs in 4 innings, he starters at a 4.41 ERA. You say, well, that's not awful. But then you have to break it down. Cole has a 1.47 ERA, and the other guys have a 6.06 ERA, and they don't give you length. So, you know, I'm not so naive after 12 games to send an alarm. I believe they're going to hit. You know, Aaron Judge had 2 home runs today. Gio Urshela with a 2-run single. But over the final, let's see, 5 innings, they were 1-for-15 with a walk. And that's against the Blue Jay bullpen that was supposed to be somewhat suspect. So I'm not quite sure when they're going to break out of it. I think they will. They gave DJ LeMahieu a day off. So he was out. They gave Stanton a day off. So a team that's having trouble scoring, you sit down a guy who had two hits yesterday. You sit down another guy who had a two-run single that was 120 miles an hour off the bat. And you know how the Yankees are, Don and Peter. Oh, there's a day off tomorrow. We want to give them 2 days off in a row. It's the 12th game of the year, and you're taking out two of your better bats when you can't score runs.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. I don't get it.
You got to be careful. You can't walk around if you're the New York Yankees and feeling like the postseason's guaranteed to you. I know that's been the case for several years, and I know it's very early. But you take a look at this division. Nobody's really running away except Boston, and I'm not sure how many people think Boston's good, but they've won seven in a row. So maybe Boston is better than we thought. Toronto's a good team. Tampa's a good team. Now, I think when it's all said and done, Baltimore will be the last place team. But this division's shaping up to be pretty good here early. If the Red Sox are going to be a good team, Michael, that's three good teams the Yankees are going to have to fight through. People believe Kansas City is a good team. So you couple them with Minnesota and Cleveland, all right, and the White Sox are supposed to be good. Then Houston and the Angels, you don't want to mess around, Michael. Otherwise, you may not be a playoff team. I know it sounds far-fetched, but if you're not going to win this division, remember, they didn't last year. And we all attributed it to it was only a 60-game schedule. If they played 162, they would have ran away with it. Well, couple the 60 games last year with the first 12 games this year, and now you're looking at a team that, you know, maybe they're not going to run away with this division. Maybe the playoffs are not guaranteed.
Well, it's early,
but I'm sorry. We're on the air every day for four and a half hours. We got to analyze something. And right now, through the first 12 games, they're in last place.
So Brian on Twitter writes, well, if Kluber had decent stuff, he would have lasted more than four innings. Give it a rest, Michael K. Then he puts in quotes, great stuff. Well, I guess, Brian, you know more than Paul O'Neill. I'll step aside if you know more than Paul O'Neill. The guy's
well, that's Brian you're talking to.
Well, Brian's talking to me.
No, but I mean, yeah, Paul O'Neill, but I mean, Michael, this is Brian, for God's sake.
That's true. So Brian might be right. And you know what? You could have great stuff in just the last four innings because he couldn't command his stuff. He had a good slider. He had a fastball it's actually harder than he usually throws at 92 miles an hour. And I'll tell you something else, Brian, that you might not like, but Paul O'Neill feels like that too. Yesterday, Tyone had good stuff, but it's all about location. And these guys have not pitched in a long time. Kluber had one inning last year. Tyone has not pitched before this year for 707 days. So it's going to take a while. And if you want to dig deeper into the stats, Brian, you could also look and see that throughout his career in March and April, Corey Kluber's ERA is 4. And from May through October, his ERA is 3. So that's even when he was dealing that, you know, pitchers sometimes take a while to find their stuff. I think the key with those two guys is health. If they're healthy and they're feeling okay, they will end up winning. But I don't know how much length they can give the Yankees. I don't know how many games they can give the Yankees. These are guys that combined for one inning of pitching last year, one. And you throw in Domingo Germán, and you know what the total changes to? Nothing. It's still one. So you're asking three guys out of your five that have pitched one inning over the last year. It's not that easy to step in and start dealing right away. I'm not making excuses for them, but the Yankee pitching has to be better. It has to be better.
And I think it will get better, and I think the hitting will get better. I'm just concerned, Michael, that maybe last year was kind of a window into us overrating how good this team really is. We kind of chalked it up. Oh, it was a 60-game schedule. So what? Well, maybe if they played 162, the exact same thing would have happened. 60 is a very small sample compared to 162, but it's a decent enough sample to see what kind of team you are. So maybe it's not a foregone conclusion this team's running away with it. I mean, the Red Sox have a lead right now in the seventh inning against the Twins. They might win their eighth in a row.
Yep.
And then they got another game later on tonight. Now, I don't know if the Red Sox are for real. It's only 12 games, but this division is shaping up to be maybe being a little bit better than we thought.
Now,
so I can't kill a Yankee fan for being concerned right now.
I'll give you some reasons for concern, okay? Jay Bruce looks lost. Now, he had a double yesterday. He was 0 for 4 today, two double plays and two strikeouts. So a lot of people were asking me during the game between innings, why are they still playing Bruce? And my answer is, this is it. They're not going to play Bruce anymore because they're locked into Rougned Odor at second. So if they're locked into him at second, then they're playing DJ LeMahieu over at first. Jay Bruce is not going to be playing any games. He's just not. Occasional off day for DJ LeMahieu. He's just not going to play games. And they can't keep running him out there because his defense is hurting them. And Rougned Odor is a barely average, maybe below average second baseman. And we certainly detailed the struggles Gleyber Torres has had. So, I mean, that's tough. A team that doesn't have great pitching right now and you're not getting every single out that you're supposed to get, that's a little scary. And one more thing that we brought up, and Don, I know you said this yesterday. The Yankees telling Clint Frazier that he's the starting left fielder is like Aaron Boone saying Higashioka is not going to start every start behind the plate when Gerrit Cole pitches. I mean, are you kidding me? A late switch at pitcher from Ross Stripling, who's a left-hander, to TJ Zoik, who's a right-hander, and he starts Brett Gardner. So what they told Clint Frazier is not true. He's not right. The starting left fielder. He is now part of a platoon in left field with Brett Gardner. That's it. That's what he is. And it's not fair to him. You told him during the offseason he's your starting left fielder, and now he's a platoon player. And when you're a platoon player and you bat from the right side, you know what? That means you play 30% of the games.
Right.
The left-hander is the Don LaGreca player. He's playing 70% of the games.
There
like Don
go.
Gets 70% of the airtime.
Right.
That's what the left-handed batter in a platoon does because there's – who just sneezed? Was that Peter?
That's right.
Are you getting sick,
cough.
Peter, or not? You okay?
It was a cough.
So there are – of the starters in baseball, about 30% of them are left-handed. So that means that Clint Frazier, who got a hit yesterday
– right.
I don't get it. Listen, you guys know how much of a fan I am of Brett Gardner. But if bringing Brett Gardner here takes the chance of Clint Frazier getting 550 at-bats, then really was that a wise move?
Right. I mean, while you lose patience with Frazier, and I know Hicks is going through some stuff right now, but he was 0 for 4. So why is he on scholarship?
Well, he had three hits yesterday.
Okay.
Can I?
But he was struggling. But, he's going
yes.
through stuff, but he was struggling before the three hits, and there
yep.
was never any consideration putting Gardner in center field, a position he can play.
Michael, let me throw something out here.
Please.
Would it suffice to say that when you look at the Frazier situation in the outfield, the Sanchez-Higashioka, the starting pitching, this is at least a very messy start, kind of up and down, no?
As Joe Girardi would say so beautifully, it's not what you want, Peter. This is not the way you want to start a season. Now, they're now 5-7. And they've got the Tampa Bay Rays, the American League champions, coming in on Friday. It's not what you want.
Yeah, they're in the bottom of the division. I mean, granted, basically everyone's sitting there at around 5 wins, but still, not what you want.
I didn't think they'd get off to this start. I still believe that this is a pretty good team, a very good team, and I believe that they will hit. But the pitching to this point has been somewhat alarming, just somewhat alarming. Because you've got to give more length than four innings an outing. You just have to. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Jordan in the car. Jordan.
Hey, guys. How are you? I want to
Good.
Say I'm a huge fan. I listen every day. Love you guys. Love
Thanks.
You guys. I'm a huge fan. I listen every day. You guys are the best. So,
thank you.
Thank you for that. I'm chiming in for the Yanks. I only call you guys for the Yankees. It's not my first time calling. Michael, have a lot of respect for you, obviously, but, you know, after opening day, I was listening to the program, and you're saying you're defending the Yankees, you're saying the Yankee fans, we got to chill, and I get that, I respect that, but, you know, we have every right to be concerned, because every game I watch, you know, we can't get this hit that's going to score one or two runs. Granted, Urshela had a nice two-run single, Odor put the ball in play the other night, great. But it's a constant concern that we have these guys, and when it comes to the playoffs and you face better pitching, it's going to be the same song and dance this year. When they get there, I'm not worried about the pitching over the course of the regular season. That'll come around. They're going to score, like you said. They will get their hits eventually, and we'll score. We'll win games. It's not the regular season. It's the playoffs. We're supposed to win championships. We wait for the playoffs all year. It's been the same situation since 17. We wait to get the playoffs. We're a great team. We battle to get in. We finish in first. We get in the wild card game, whatever it is. But we get to the playoffs and we face this better pitching and the bats get shut down. Every year we talk about the pitching. It's not always really the pitching. It's about getting the big hit. It's about getting the big hit early. It's about scoring runs. And in the playoffs, the bats get shut down every single year. And the further the point that drives me nuts is you guys say, well, the Yankees don't believe in hot. They don't believe in cold. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. I agree with what you're saying with Clint Frazier. He's got to get out that. But my concern, every Yankees fan concern, my Yankee fan chat, is that when they get to the playoffs, they face great pitching. They can't get a rally going. They can't sustain a rally. They can't open up an inning for four or five runs. They can't even get a big two-out single to really break the back of the team. And that's the big concern. That's where we don't see the team going, and that's where Yankee fans the last four or five years don't have confidence that we're going to get there. And thank you, guys. You're great. Have a great day. Thank you.
Well, the Yankees don't score unless they hit home runs. They just don't. And coming into this game, they were 21st with 11 home runs. 21st in baseball. So Judge had two home runs today. They don't score without home runs. So that's the way this offense is designed. Now, to say that they get shut down in the postseason because of it, well, last year, what'd they lose the game? 2-1, Don, in the fifth game against Tampa Bay?
Right.
2-1. So Tampa didn't score either. So in tight games like that, there's not going to be much offense. So if you're looking for the Yankees to string together four doubles in a row, no. They either win the games with home runs or not. Either hit home runs or not. And the team that won the World Series last year, the Dodgers, they hit a heck of a lot of home runs. And that's what they believe, that that's the way to win. And they have not gotten the big home run in the game against the Astros. They did get a big home run to tie it. And then Altuve hit the big home run against Chapman. Now, why'd they lose those games? Chapman gave up a home run to Altuve. Why'd they lose the game last year? Chapman gave up a home run to Brasso. Don't blame it all on it's a team effort when you lose. And I will put it this way. Every single year since Boone is here, they've gone to the playoffs and they've had an opportunity to win the World Series. They haven't done it. So if they get to the World Series, I agree with one thing that they say. It's a total crapshoot. But I will tell you this, too. Let's get to the World Series. Let's get to the playoffs right now. The way they're playing, they're not getting to the playoffs. And I believe that this is a playoff team. I said it's going to win 100 games. They got to play better than this. They have to play better than this. You cannot score. They had five hits all game. Five hits against TJ Zoik, Trent Thornton, Anthony Castro, and Rafael Dolis. Five hits. Last five innings, 1-for-15 in a walk. You don't win games that way. So let's straighten that out. Let's get back on a winning track and then worry about the playoffs. Are we worried about the playoffs now, Don? How about just playing well now?
Yeah, the one thing I'll take exception to the caller, Jordan, is like we're supposed to win championships. Well, at what point do you say, you know what, maybe you're not?
Well, I will tell you this, something that Brian said on our air, and you were here when he said it, Don. I'm not worried about a championship. I'm worried about championships. Well, in order to get the S, you got to get the N or the P at the end. You got to have one championship. And we looked at these baby bombers, right? They're not baby bombers anymore. The window is closing. It's almost at the windowsill right now. Judge is 28. Sanchez has been around forever. Where are the baby bombers?
Listen, the Yankees are built to win championships. I get that because they have that mission statement every year. But you know why the team won, you know, four championships in 5 years? You had guys that were championship caliber players that came up big in big moments on a consistent basis. I mean, there isn't anybody on this team other than Brett Gardner that has been a part of a championship team with the Yankees. So they've got to prove themselves, Michael, and so far they haven't. They've got great players on this team. But do they have championship players on this team?
No, there's one. There's one other one. That's Chapman. He won a championship with the Cubs. That's it. Chapman and Gardner have rings. That's right. All. That's all. Up and down the rotation, that's all. Even Garrett Cole doesn't have a championship. The year he pitched for the Astros, they lost. So, I'm sorry. Got to get with it. They're playing flat baseball, uninspired baseball. Wake up. Somebody's got to slap them on their backside. Wake up. Let's towel off. We'll come back, take more phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. And I sense it, Don. There's tension between me and Peter, and I think we have to settle things.
I believe Peter has taken the high road all day. I'd be very surprised if he took an exit ramp at this point.
Well, he shouldn't, because I've always got his back, and what I did yesterday was for him. It was for him. Yeah.
Okay.
Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so this just in, the Astros have placed five players on the injured list. They're playing the Tigers tonight. Among those placed on the injured list for health and safety protocols, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, and Yordan Alvarez. Yankees lose 5-4, walk-off home run by Bo Bichette, he's a real deal. This kid is the real deal. What a swing he has. He had two home runs today, his third and fourth. Three hits and five at-bats, and he gets the walk-off against Chad Green. Let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Daniel in Union. Daniel.
Hey, guys. What's up?
How you doing?
Good. So not only is this team not performing, but Aaron Boone is driving me up the wall. And, Michael, you said this earlier. How in the third week of the season you can bench guys and get them two off days, including Giancarlo Stanton, who you're paying $30 million and who you know is going to be injured later in the season. So that's something we're not even considering. This team is not performing, and Judge and Stanton are not going to play 150 games. You know it, because even when they're healthy, Aaron Boone is so soft, he doesn't play them. And here's my second problem with the lineup. How do you bat Gardner third? What is he thinking? Higashioka is their hottest hitter after Judge now, and you bat him ninth, and you bat Gary Sanchez fourth. Explain that to me. There's no explanation as to why Aaron Judge would do that, except that he's scared of Gary Sanchez, he doesn't want to hurt his feelings, and he has no control over this team. He just does what the players want, and he doesn't do what's right for the team. There's no reason you should bet Higashioka tonight.
Let's pump the brakes on Higashioka for a minute, okay? Higashioka is Johnny Bench when he's catching Gerrit Cole. In the 49 games that he's caught anybody else, he's an under 200 hitter. Higashioka was hitting exactly where he should be hitting. Stop. Gary Sanchez has gotten off to a good start offensively, so they put him at the number four spot. That's it. Stop. Brett Gardner batting third. Well, that's anybody's guess. For a team that doesn't care if there's righty or lefty, he's an awfully interested in balance now, and he's just trying to break up a couple of right-handed hitters. He wanted Gardner between Judge and Sanchez. But to say that he has no control over the players, that he's soft, resting players the way they do is organizational decisions. They have medical people that tell you, and you're saying that Stanton and Judge aren't going to play 150 games anyway. Well, they're trying to get them to play 150 games. They're trying to keep them healthy. Now, I don't think they should have benched DJ LeMahieu today. I don't think they should have benched Stanton. This is a game. I don't think the 12th game of a year is a huge game. But I think that mentally this was bigger than your average 12th game. Get out of town. Enjoy the off day. Get a win. Get a series win. And you bench two guys that the most RBIs on the team is Stanton. And LeMahieu picked up two hits yesterday. So, listen. They're obsessed with resting players. And the only thing I would tell them is this. You're resting all these players and everybody gets hurt anyway.
Yeah.
So I would ride that pony until they broke. I'm sorry. If you're going to pound out two hits, you're going to be in there the next day. You'll get your rest when you get into a little bit of a slump. Because I do believe in hot. And I do believe in cold. And guys that I spoke to that played the game believe in hot and cold. Alex Rodriguez has been on this air and said, if you don't believe in hot, you don't know the game of baseball. When you feel hot and you're getting hits, you have a different feeling at the plate. And if you sit down, all of a sudden you're going to lose that feeling. So for them not to believe in hot, to sit down LeMahieu off a two-hit game, to sit down Stanton after he had 120-mile, the hardest hit ball this year, to have two runs on a single, I didn't get it, especially for a team that doesn't hit, guys. I don't get it.
Michael, if you were to apply not believing in hot to any sport, it would sound insane.
To anything in life?
It's like a situation where a team has two good quarterbacks. One quarterback is unbelievable one week. The next week they go, nah, you know what? We're going to go back to the other guy. You always ride a hot hand. It just doesn't – it defies any logic.
And this walking around, like, we've got bigger fish to fry here. We're trying to win a championship. I get it, but it's April, okay? Nothing's guaranteed to anybody here. Last year you had to settle for the wild card, and it was explained away because it was just a 60-game season. Well, now you've got, you know, the Red Sox, who are six outs away from winning an eighth consecutive game. Tampa's the defending champions of the league. Who's to say that a game that you let get away in April isn't going to cost you a division? Now, maybe you're playing for the wild card where it's going to be down to one game advancing. Do you really want to be there? I mean, who are they to walk around and say, oh, we're going to win 100 games. We're going to win this division by 10. So let's make sure we rest everybody. Hey, you just lost two out of three to Toronto the last time you played them at the stadium. It's a rubber game. I'm sorry, it's April, but yeah, you want to start winning series. That's what it's about, right, Michael? Each individual game isn't a big deal, but you know what? Now it's a series. Now it's a series against a divisional opponent. You're under 500. You got a chance to take two out of three on the road. And you're worried about resting guys?
Aaron Boone talked about the Yankees going 2-4 on the road trip. He said, we know eventually we're going to start banging. I have a ton of confidence in our guys. I can't wait to see them turn the corner. And for Yankee fans that are sitting there waiting for Aaron Boone to bang the players, to criticize them really hard, never. It's not going to happen. That's not what he's about. That's not what that job's about. He's always going to see the silver lining. Always going to see the silver lining.
And I know it's organizational, Michael, but the fans, that's who they see in the press conference.
Yep.
And that's why they get mad at Aaron. I agree with you. I can see that it's a deeper situation than that. But I understand you want to have confidence in guys, but this team as a collective hasn't won a thing. Yeah, they
Since
win a lot of in the regular season, but you know, you're not resting Derek Jeter and Paul O'Neill and Bernie Williams, guys that got rings jingling and jangling. What has this team done? If you're the Minnesota Twins, you could be happy with winning 100 games a year and going to the playoffs every year. It's supposed to be the New York Yankees. You heard Jordan say, we're supposed to win a championship. Well, for 11 years, you haven't.
Now, let's take a brief timeout. We'll hear from Aaron Boone. We'll reset. A lot of stories to go over. We've got a big ENN at 6 o'clock leading into a big Knick game. Pre-game's at 6:30. Big Net game, too, but the powers that be and load management killed the game for me, killed it, completely neutered it. We'll talk about that as well. And also, I don't know if you guys saw this, an interview in SI, huge red flags when it comes to Trevor Lawrence. Did you see these quotes?
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, huge red flags. We'll talk about that as well. We're on until 6:30. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you on 98.7 ESPN. We'll be joined by Yes in just a couple of minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Tim Legler, am I supposed to think that the Nets have bigger fish to fry and this game is just not something they look at as being that big of a deal?
Yeah, it's almost like they're going out of their way to make it seem that way. Like, you know, we're not really thinking about anybody in the Eastern Conference. We don't really feel like we have any competition. Look, it's not just this game. I've expressed a lot of frustration this year in covering the league. I don't think I've seen a year where you've had more games missed by the top 20 players in the league than we've had this year. It is completely changed the regular season.
The Michael K. Show.
It's just not the same product when those guys sit. It's just not.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yeah. Big reset right now as we start the 5 o'clock hour. And this portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop. By London Jewelers, Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. And we are being joined by the Yes Network. The post game is over. The Yankees lost a heartbreaker on a walk-off or solo home run by Bo Bichette. And the Yankees lose 5-4. So in 8 games, let me see if that's right, 9 games, right? 9 games against the Blue Jays and the Rays. They're 3-6. And as Joe Girardi, who's in town with the Phillies, said, that's not what you want. It's not a good way to start the season. It's still very early. Yankees are 5-7, but there are some alarming things. I don't look at the lack of offense as alarming. They're going to hit. If they don't hit, then I'll admit that I've never been more wrong. They will hit. I don't like the way they run the bases. I don't like the way they play defense. And particularly irksome and worrisome to me is after Cole, what do they have? Gerrit Cole's ERA is 1.47. Coming into this game, everybody else was 6.06. And so Corey Kluber went 4 innings today, gave up 3 runs. So the 6.06 then goes up as well. They're not giving length. They're not giving quality. And what you're doing is you're hurting the most important part of your team other than the offense, and that's the bullpen, which has been exemplary up to this point. But they are going to tire. Because if you're asked to get 12 to 15 to 18 outs every single day except when Cole pitches, you're going to wear out. I'm sorry. And Aaron Boone and Matt Blake are very careful with the way they deploy their bullpen. They never pitch anybody 3 days in a row. But if you're going to have this incredible workload, and Don and Peter, not only is the workload incredible, but when they're coming in, it's incredibly high leverage. The team doesn't score runs. So You're not right. making up 18 outs where you've got like a six-run lead. You're in a tie game or you're down one or you're up one. Every single out is a high-leverage out, and you are going to wear down your bullpen. And then if that happens, what do you have?
No, then
where
you're done.
Are you then?
Then you're done. By the way, the Red Sox won the first game of the doubleheader, Michael. That's 8 straight for Boston.
That's the longest streak in Major League Baseball
yeah.
this year.
You know, so they're 8-3 now. Again, it's early. I understand that it's early. But Yankee fans are not critiquing this team based on the first 12 games of the season. They're critiquing this team last year, over 60 games, in which you saw a lot of the same thing. All right? And then they're critiquing them in the postseason the last few years when they didn't get big hits. So that's the concern, is that, yeah, they're 5-7, it's early, but why do you walk around so convinced that this team is going to compete for a championship when there isn't anybody on the team that is championship caliber as far as having the rings? You know, listen, I love Brett Gardner. He's my favorite Yankee. But it wasn't like he was, you know, a superstar on that 09 team.
No, he was an off-the-bench guy.
And Chapman was – championship came with the Cubs. So, you know, they get – and it's unfair, but the Yankees always get compared to the Jeter Yankees, 4 championships in 5 years. We're supposed to win a championship every year. Well, then if that's the case, Michael, then why are we talking about a team struggling to do the simple things? They've hit more double plays than any team in baseball. Leaving guys on – that so I can understand their frustration. I'm not going to kill a Yankee fan for being upset with his team right now. And we analyze it every single day, and you just can't – all right, listen, it's April. Don't worry about it. Let's talk about the NFL draft. Hey, it's only April 14th. Let's talk about the Knicks and Nets. Oh, it's the Yankees, Michael. You got to analyze it. This isn't good.
Well, concerning today is that, you know, Aaron Judge had a great day. He had two home runs. And so he's done that 11 times in his career. And the Yankees have won 9 games that he's had two home runs in. The only 2 times they've lost to the Blue Jays. So.
Right.
Yankee road trip 2-4. They lose to 2 division rivals, 2 teams that they're going to be battling. You could say that the Red Sox are going to come back to the pack. Remember, they started the season getting swept by the Orioles. Now they've won 8 in a row. So we'll see what's going on with the Red Sox. Remember, they have a much better manager than they had last year. No offense to Ron Renneke, but you know Alex Cora is a great manager. So J.D. Martinez has found his stroke. So maybe this becomes a 4-team race. I don't think I know that the Orioles aren't ready to go. Well, anyway, let's listen to Aaron Boone. He was asked what the team needs to do to get back on track.
Well, we got to play better, obviously, in every area. You know, there's some mistakes we're making. You know, obviously the pen has done a really nice job for us. You know, when you're not banging, you got to do little things really well. And, you know, that's catch the ball, run the bases. We know eventually we are going to start banging. You know, I have a ton of confidence in our guys and can't wait to see them turn the corner. But in the meantime, you know, especially when you're in these dogfights where you're not breaking games open, you got to play real clean.
And they have not played clean. Aaron Judge, who hit the 2 home runs, asked what they could be doing better.
I'm just trying to think through the games. You know, just look, it's the little things. You know, I look back to either base running mistakes, mistakes in the outfield. Not coming up, you know, with just a clutch hit, you know, taking our singles when we can, you know, so there's a bunch of things, you know, even me personally, you know, a couple of things I need to work on to, you know, kind of help put this team in a better position to come out with a better outcome, especially with, you know, a tough team like Tampa who's going to give us their best.
All right. So Kluber lasted 4 innings today. And here's Aaron Boone about Kluber's outing.
You know, made some pitches to get out of a jam there in his last inning. So I feel like he's continuing to get close to where he needs to be. And when you think of Corey at his best, it's movement and precision and, you know, just getting to that final over that final hump, but getting real precise.
Corey Kluber talked about how he felt his day went.
Same as last time. I thought it was another step in the right direction. You know, I'm as frustrated as anybody with the results on the scoreboard, so to speak, but you know, that I can tell that things are heading the right direction and you know, you can only pitch as long as they let you.
All right. Did he make a case to stay in the game?
I don't feel like that's my position. You know, I've always approached it as, you know, it's my job to go out there and pitch as long as you can, get as many outs as you can. And when they take the ball from your hand over the bullpen, you know, that's the end of it. I don't feel like it's my position to argue or something like that. You know what I mean?
Okay. But did you think you had more to give there?
I mean, in the heat of the moment, I think you'd be hard pressed to find a starting pitcher who doesn't feel like, you know, they can keep going.
The one thing that you have to realize about this Yankee team and about Kluber and Tyone, it's a work in progress. I mean, you can't judge them by three starts. So if you want to get down on them now, you're allowed. They haven't given them length. I think they've pitched better than the amount of innings that would indicate that they would pitch. But they're finding it. They're finding it. I mean, Tyone's coming back from a second Tommy John surgery. He didn't pitch last year. Kluber has pitched, I believe, 34 innings in the last two seasons. One inning last year. It's going to take a while. That's why it would have been really beneficial for the Yankees to hit a lot at the beginning of the year. Instead, they've been completely out of sync, hitting into double plays at a major league leading rate. It's amazing. It's amazing what they've done. It has not been pretty. And you know what? When you don't play well, you're going to have an under 500 record. And that's exactly what they have at 5-7. And we'll see how they get out of it. It's not an easy task to take on the Tampa Bay Rays. Rays are always tough against them. And they play baseball the right way. They play it hard. They play it smart. They've got good defense. Their bullpen's outstanding. They're managed very well. They have a very smart analytics crew. So, you know, Don and Peter, if you really want to snap out of a 5-7 slide, I don't think you'd order up the Tampa Bay Rays for three games. But that's exactly what the Yankees have starting on Friday.
And that's their team. That's a team that they're going to have to contend with. And maybe this Red Sox team now becomes a team they have to contend with. And the Blue Jays have now won 4 of 6 against the Yankees here. And you said it at the beginning of the year, Michael, watch, because they got a lot of games against the Blue Jays early. Well, they've lost 4 of the 6. That's a problem. So, yeah, it's early. I get it. But, man, I get the frustration. We shouldn't be in this situation. Not with this team.
All right, now we're going to get to your phone calls, but I wanted to get one thing off my chest. I was so looking forward to, after this game, or after the show, heading home, And watching the Nets and the Sixers. Eastern Conference final preview. Maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Pumped
up. Now, what I didn't understand during the show yesterday, I'm watching the Nets and the Timberwolves. And the Nets won that game, Don, you would admit, 3 minutes in. They were running away.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves had no chance whatsoever. And they kept Kevin Durant in the game. I'm thinking, why are they doing that? And now Kevin Durant's not playing today. And Blake Griffin's not playing today. I don't think LaMarcus Aldridge is playing today. Stop it. This game means nothing to you? Nothing? So I sometimes laugh at us. I laugh at us on this side of the business where we put such import on winning the Eastern Conference or finishing first in the Eastern Conference at home. They don't give a damn. If they cared, then Kevin Durant would be playing today. We make a big deal out of things that mean nothing to the people that run these teams. Kevin Durant's not playing today against the Sixers? Why? You don't care at all. You don't care at all. You're tied for the top of the Eastern Conference. That means that if you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7 would be in Brooklyn if you finished first. And Kevin Durant's not playing for load management. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm done.
And load management, Michael, come on. You tell me they couldn't have beaten the T-Wolves without Kevin Durant? You want to load management, then play him against Philly, and don't play him against Minnesota.
It's like they're trying to avoid it. It's like they don't even want them on the court now, for these games.
Is there some logic that they have of we don't want them to see us right now?
Maybe,
it's just
Peter.
Gamesmanship?
But, guys.
But it's not fun.
I'm the first person to sit here and tell you about how important championships are, right? It's what everybody strives for. But much like my rant about DeGrom, it's the day in and day out of the sports that we fall in love with. Sitting down and being entertained. That game's nationally televised, ESPN. What are they giving fans? Sixers,
the middle
Nets.
Finger. That's
this
what
is the stuff
fans.
That we're supposed to live for as fans, right? Those big matchups, right? Get excited about certain games. Yankees, Red Sox, you get excited, right? Rangers, Islanders, you get excited. There's certain games when the Cardinals play the Cubs or that you just get excited about as a fan. You want to sit down and watch your team play. Yeah, everybody wants to win a championship, but the essence of sports, why we fall in love with it, is the competition. And you've got a great matchup. It's on national television tonight, and it's almost like the two teams don't care. So why should the fans care?
I'm going to watch the Knicks in New Orleans instead. I really am. At least you see Zion against R.J. Barrett, two guys from Duke going up against each other, and Zion's one of the most exciting players in basketball. You're right. I thought the whole thing about load management, you're supposed to make these players available for nationally televised games. Mike Breen's doing this game. No Kevin Durant. Come on, man. You didn't have to play him that many minutes against Minnesota. You didn't have to.
And also, I mean, listen, if the whole thing is simply about the championship and that's it, have a tournament. We don't need an 80-game season then. Why are we doing this? I mean, isn't this entertainment? People pay tickets, advertisers sell spots, everyone shows up to the building. I get it. I certainly get it. But in this case, it seems so unnecessary. You're right, Michael. The Nets were up 21 at halftime last night.
Running away with it.
You don't want to play against the Sixers? You don't want to fight for home court advantage and make a statement? You guys have the exact same record competing for the best team in the East? I'm sorry, it's weak. I'd love for someone to call up and defend it. It's super weak to me.
And you couple that with the comments from Mark Cuban the other day.
They don't care.
I don't like the play-in. Now I got to play my players. I got to play them extra minutes to get
more guys.
Well, I'm sorry. That's what sports is supposed to be. All right, I've already accepted the fact that baseball players aren't going to play 162 games. I accept the fact of load management. I understand some teams have championship aspirations, and there's going to be certain games that aren't going to have the same meaning. But there's games you circle on your calendar, a game that's on national television to legitimately get excited about, and you get robbed of it. You really do.
And what you said earlier, too, they could have beaten the Timberwolves if you wanted to have one game of load management. Don't you want Kevin Durant playing against the Sixers? So they're on nationally, and then you're also stiffing your rights holders. It's also on Yes in the New York area. And they're stiffing Yes, too, and Yes pays a rights fee to the Nets, and they're not going to play Kevin Durant against the Sixers? Come on, man. Have some pride in your product. That's disgraceful.
That's true, because the game's on Yes. Nationally, it's on ESPN. People get excited. But, you know, we got to play KD against one of the worst teams in the NBA in a 4 o'clock tip that nobody probably watched.
Right. Let's really, really screw Yes. 4 o'clock game, that's not their fault that the game was postponed from a night game. Nobody's watching at 4 o'clock. You're preempting the K-Show, which is disgraceful. And then you're playing Kevin Durant against a team that can't get out of its own way, but you choose to rest him against the Sixers. Come on. Really, they're insulting fans moving forward. They really are. They're insulting fans. This is a game that Net fans are going to tune into Yes and really be interested in. And national fans on ESPN were going to tune in to see Kevin Durant and the Nets against the Sixers, the two best teams in the East. But now it's completely been neutered. Completely neutered.
And listen, you understand in certain sports that, hey, the stars aren't always going to be available to you, right? You kind of live with the day game after a night game in baseball, and guys get hurt, certainly, so nothing's guaranteed, right? But the one sport that markets their stars better than anybody is the NBA. And that's what it's about. And then you get the stars, two teams that have a bunch of stars you can market, two teams battling for first place, all the things that would make the game marketable. And now most of the stars aren't playing, and it also, how big a game is it? Like you out of habit, Michael, because you're a sports fan. Big game tonight between the Nets and the Sixers. No, it's not. It's not, because the teams don't consider it to be a big deal, because finishing in first isn't important.
And
playing and entertaining isn't important.
That this was a lose your remote day on Yes. You got the Yankees in the afternoon. You got the K Show in the middle, leading as a bridge right into the Nets. And the Nets are saying, we don't care about it. We'll rest Kevin Durant, but we're playing against the Timberwolves. Unbelievable. I mean, a big, fat, giant middle finger to basketball fans. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. They don't care. And for this game not to matter shows that they don't even care about finishing first.
Right.
Because you know what? It's important about this game. This is the tiebreaker between these two games. They split the previous games. This is the last time they'll meet. So you don't even care about the tiebreaker. Okay. If you finish with the same record, now the Sixers win the tiebreaker.
So think about it, Michael. You got the top half of the conferences where the teams don't care about finishing in first place, so they're mailing in the end of the season. The teams at the bottom of the conference are mailing it in because they want to tank for the best pick. So the regular season's like laughable now. I think that's why I think it's legit. They're like, Knicks fans are like, I'm more excited because the Knicks have a reason to play, because they're right in that middle, right? where every game becomes important, and they don't have the luxury of resting players or mailing games in, and now they become the most compelling thing to watch because they can't afford to lose games. But that's only a handful of teams.
Don, I got to tell you something, and it's going to shock you. I might, and Peter, it's going to shock you too. I might have to come over to hockey. I mean, those guys never rest. They get beaten up, they get bloodied, and they never take themselves out. There's no such thing as load management in the NHL. Never, never would you see this in a big game where they would rest their best player. Never, ever, ever would it happen.
And you get the teams like Buffalo that's completely out of it and sold off their pieces, like going to the shootout against Boston. Ottawa just beat Winnipeg the other day 4-2. They play. You know, and listen, I'm not trying to market the, you know, the sport, Michael. You know how much I love it. But, yeah, this is not a thing where I sit here and go, oh, you know, Mika Zibanejad's played like every game. That we're going to give him a break. Guys are playing. They're playing injured. They're blocking shots. It's just amazing, the mentality of it all.
Unbelievable. And the mentality, really, it's only, well, it's creeping into baseball, which I don't get, but it is taking hold. It is taking hold in the NBA. It doesn't exist in football. You don't see football players load managing ever. And I think they play a little bit, you know, more of a physical game than the NBA. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum.
It shouldn't be, but I think it is. Okay.
No, goodbye. No, I'm sorry. I didn't even want to hear this. I'm not in the mood for it.
Not today.
Let's go to Rich in Manhattan. Rich.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Regarding the Nets, good. I think it's similar to the Yankees and how Brian Cashman, there's just a lot of arrogance going on in those two organizations. There's my Yankee talk.
Let me stop you for one second, Rich, and I'll let you finish your point.
Sure.
As much as the Yankees rest players, okay, if they were playing in September, the Red Sox, in a series to win the American League East, there's no way that any of their players would be resting. There's no way that baseball would do that. The NBA, it's a thing. It's a thing against the Sixers for the number one spot in the Eastern Conference. They're going to rest their best player. It's unbelievable. Please, Rich, go on.
No, I understand that you're more likely than not correct on that, but I have seen a lot Boone and / Cashman, because he really runs the organization, rest players. My issue with the Yankees is simply this. They are boasting about right-handed hitters and the fact that right-handed hitters are irrelevant because of Yankee Stadium, yet I see Brett Gardner and Aaron Hicks bat in the top half of the order every time because they're left-handed. And we know that's Aaron Boone's job, and Aaron Boone is supposed to listen to it, but it's really Cashman. And like I was saying before, I see Joe Musgrove, who got traded from the Pirates this year to the Padres, still throwing 15 scoreless innings. And we get Tyone, who is going to take another 3 months just to get back to normal and probably revert back to his old pitching form. This is on Cashman. That's my whole point. It's Cashman who is arrogant and thinks that he has won World Series like it's 1999, but hasn't won a damn thing since 2009. And he has to go. And I'm sorry, I sound like a panicky Yankee fan. I try not to be like that. But he just has to go based on the same old for years. Thank you for your time. And I'll thank you.
As I've said over and over, and it gets people angry, Brian Cashman's let go. He'd have a job within 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Maybe even not even that long. When you look at the way this team is constructed, you have to understand some of the restraints and constraints that he had. Now, some of them are his fault. So they had a $260 million payroll last year. They got ousted by the Tampa Bay Rays with a $60 million payroll. They lost more money, according to Hal Steinbrenner, he said it on this show, than any team in baseball because of the 60-game season, no fans last year. So Cashman was under directive to bring the payroll in under 210. So there's just very little that he could do. He re-signed DJ LeMahieu. He let go of Tanaka. He didn't re-sign him. He makes a trade for Tyone, who they have control of 2 more years. And then they did spend a little bit more than I thought they'd spend on Kluber, and there were other teams that wanted him, teams that are in contention that wanted him. So the Yankees didn't go out on a limb and do things. Now, when I say some of it's his fault, by making the trade for Giancarlo Stanton, you put yourself into a payroll constraint because you're locked in for the next 7 years at a salary from $25 to $30 million a year. That's money that you can't spend on other things. But they were under a directive. And if I'm Hal Steinbrenner, by the way, he's a very patient guy. I'd be red hot from last year. Red hot. I'm going to lose to a team that doesn't have anybody that makes a lot of money when we've got a $260 million payroll. No. That's not the way it's going to work. So they wanted to reset the luxury tax. They wanted to reset the penalties you get in the draft and things like that. And they're having the payroll under 210. So when you say they didn't do enough, well, there wasn't that much you could do. Because if you really wanted to bring back LeMahieu, which was job one, you had to fit him in. And he helped them out by taking only $15 million a year. So the Brian Cashman stuff, I mean, really, every year they win close to 100 games. Well, you say, well, they're not built to win in the playoffs. Every single playoff they have a chance to win, they just don't.
But when does that come to a head, right?
I don't know. I think that Hal Steinbrenner has total confidence in Brian Cashman.
Well, I'm not asking for anybody to be fired. I'm just saying that when you're a team that consistently wins 100 games and competing for a playoff spot every single year, finishing above 500 every year since the early 90s, all right, which direction do you go? Do you finally win the championship for the first time in over a decade, or do you take a step back?
Well, they took a step back when they traded Chapman and Miller. They reset, but now that window's closing, Don.
I know, but I'm just saying, take a look at last year. Was last year a little bit of a window into, you know what, maybe they're not running away with this division. You know, maybe there's a team that's going to have to settle for the wild card. I know with how much money they spend, I know how amazing their players are supposed to be, but could this be a team that, you know, you start to, now it's a little harder. Now you went from winning 203 games in 2 years to settling for the wild card to now maybe you're going to be a team, whether they should or not, be competing to just find a way to make the playoffs. Right? Could that be? That happens.
No, I think they're better than that. I mean, maybe I'll be proven wrong. I think they're better than sneaking into the playoffs. I think they're going to win the division. But for the first 12 games, they've played terribly. They have not played sharp. They look like their head's in their butt. They're not playing crisp baseball. Dumb base running maneuvers yesterday with Sanchez getting off of first. The other day with Gardner trying to score on a ball that didn't really get away far enough. I mean, they're a better team than this. I don't know why they're playing this way. I think they will play well eventually. And I'm not advocating for, like, panicking. But these are 12 games that they should not be proud of. They should be embarrassed the way they've played. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, here on the Michael K. Show, we're celebrating our new 2 p.m. start time by giving away $10,000 in the month of April. Every weekday in the 2 p.m. hour, be listening for the KCast Sounder and be ready to call in to claim $500 cash. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to the phones. Mel in New Jersey. Mel.
Mel.
Hey, before I go to my next, I want to make this quick. MetLife Stadium, a concert there. Summer Jam concert, Peter. Funk Flex, he was on. It was late at night, right? It was at night, and he's like, everybody put your phones in the air. Everybody put your phones in the air. So the stadium is full of phones. You got the beautiful night sky, and he got a song playing with no lyrics, or no instrumental. Everybody just rapping the words out loud. It was electric. It was like goosebumps. It was amazing. All right, now my next point, though, man, right? So Tariq Hill, right? He went off for 254 yards in the first half of a game against Tampa Bay. And then they go to the Super Bowl, and they get completely shut down. He completely shut them down. So with that simple fact, just in case if the Nets do make it to Philadelphia in the finals, you know, we still got some tricks up our sleeves, some cards that we didn't play yet, some things that they didn't see. You know, so I'm all right with the Stars not playing tonight. You know?
Really, Mel? Really? So the Sixers, I mean, Kevin Durant's going to take them by surprise. There's no tape on Kevin Durant. He hasn't played a lot of big games in his career. Also, Harden's not playing tonight. You never know with Kyrie. Kyrie, I think, is playing. So, but You're giving stuff away, Peter, by them playing today? Come on. Have faith in yourself.
And also, remember, guys, these are division rivals, okay? It wasn't the Chiefs weren't playing the Raiders in the Super Bowl. This is a divisional rivalry, and it's also a 7-game series.
All right, but let's...
That's right. They'll find out something the first two games.
Well, let's just say, for sake of argument, that he's right. That you don't want to show your hand. All right, so now the regular season's become the preseason. So that's how meaningless the regular season is, that you don't want to give anything away. It's so guaranteed you're making the playoffs. It's so guaranteed you're facing the Sixers in the conference final that you are now willing to sacrifice the potential to be the one seed because you're afraid you might give up a secret. So now the 82 regular season, or this year a 72-game regular season, is just glorified exhibition. That's good for the sport?
I mean, you've got regional sports networks. You've got TBS and ESPN paying a truckload of right fees to this league, and they just rest people whenever they want. Listen, if you're hurt, you're hurt. I get it. I understand it. You can't play when you're hurt. But load management, I mean, that's a load of something, but management, it's not. And it all started, I think, with Kawhi Leonard. That's what it started with. And now everybody does it. You know what? LeBron James doesn't do it. He's legitimately hurt right now. Right. When he's healthy, he's playing every single game.
Same thing with James Harden.
Every game James Harden plays, he doesn't have load management.
And explain to me, all right, and I'm going to be that guy, explain to me that, like, the Colorado Avalanche could be the best team in the NHL, and they're likely going to have to play in a bubble in the conference final and the Stanley Cup final in front of no fans. And do they rest any of their players down the stretch? No. You play. Now, if somebody's hurt, you take them out. Maybe you reduce their minutes in a game that's 7-1. But you play. McKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen, and they play. It's not even an issue. They want to win a championship. They will compete for a championship. So why can one sport do it and the other sport? You can't play. Don, you can't play them. Because that's too exhausting. The schedule is just too exhausting. Oh, and you don't want to give away secrets when they face each other in the finals.
And, Peter, can you help me out? Not in a great mood. I had to hear a poetic story about Summer Jam from years ago. Come on!
It was out of context for you, but it made sense.
Yeah, you missed
us.
The context.
Well, what was the context? I'd like to know.
We were talking about whether MetLife Stadium is a good place to see a show, music-wise. Because we were kind of bashing
MetLife. We were basically trying to find out if there's anything, is anything great about MetLife Stadium.
I've seen Springsteen in MetLife Stadium. It's wonderful.
But it was wonderful at Giant Stadium.
Why isn't Peter on camera today? What's wrong?
I just don't have a setup here that works.
Oh, yeah, I mean, people deserve that face.
He doesn't want to give anything away for, you know, sweeps.
Let's go to Michael in Mineola. Michael.
Yeah, I have a couple of things. One programming point and one sports point. Please keep me on even if you don't like the sports, the programming point.
No, we'll see. I can't promise anything.
All right, but I think you'll like it. I think you will. Michael and Don and Peter, you guys are great. You guys have the ratings, you know, and all that. But, you know, the 2 o'clock Max Kellerman, you know, nobody likes Max Kellerman in this country, in this state specifically. Nobody's going to listen to him. And that's why, you know, he got hurt coming into your show. Chris Carlin is sitting there. He doesn't work half the year. Why isn't he working from 2 to 3 or 1 to 3 or something like that?
Well, we're on a 2 now, Michael, for like weeks.
I know, but why didn't Chris Carlin take that slot?
Well, I mean, what are you, a radio programmer? People do like Max Kellerman. I mean, we did this for several reasons, and we're on now from 2 to 6:30. Just sit back, enjoy it, luxuriate it, and get $500 and listen to the 2 o'clock hour.
We got
it.
But
don't trash somebody in our family. I mean, you're trashing Max Kellerman. We're not going to have you do that.
We got a PD. We're good. And the PD listens and knows we're on it.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead.
I've been listening since 10 to 1. I've been listening since 2001. You know,
well, we appreciate that, Michael. Thank you. Thank you. What else you got?
That's the reason that I'm calling. Okay, Michael, I have a bone to pick with you specifically because the situation with Aaron Judge and people who compare Aaron Judge to Pete Alonso and always take Aaron Judge over Alonso don't factor in something called durability. And when you have this component, it is a critical component when you weigh a player. He doesn't belong as a superstar for a major league. You cannot build a team around Aaron Judge. You just can't. I'm sorry. You just can't.
Aaron Judge, when he's healthy, is one of the best players in baseball. Pete Alonso, when he's healthy, is a really good player. He's not in the top 10 in baseball. I'm sorry. Aaron Judge is a better defender. He's a better runner. He hits for average better. I think Pete Alonso is a delightful player. He's really good. But you're saying that the availability is the biggest ability? If that's what you're judging, then it's hard to wrap your arms and your mind around Aaron Judge. I'm just saying that when they're both 100% healthy, Aaron Judge is better. I don't think there's a comparison. Sorry. Pete Alonso's not a good first baseman. The Mets, in their dreams, would have Dominic Smith playing first base and Pete Alonso as
a
DH.
But with all that said, if one guy's going to play 150 games and the other guy's going to play 100, well, then that evens the stakes a little bit.
I understand. But, I mean, I'm just looking at people have said that skill-wise, there's no comparison. Aaron Judge is a plus defender with a great arm, and he's a really good base runner. Pete Alonso is not a plus defender. He's just not. I think he's a terrific player. He's a terrific hitter. Now, one other thing, Peter. You got upset with me yesterday. I ran a poll. Are you happy that Peter's off? I did that knowing that people would say they were upset that you were off, and that's exactly what happened. You blew the poll away that was up on the Yes Network. It was 63-37. People love you, and that's what I was trying to prove. If you don't like me, well, I'm sorry. You're wrong. I'm a big fan of yours. You've seen it. I defend you at every turn. So please don't say that I was setting you up to fail, because you didn't fail. You were glorious in victory.
So first of all, two things. I never said I was upset by it. I simply saw that a lot of
people. No, I saw your tweet yesterday. Oh, what a bad guy. We know I'm a bad guy. Accept it.
But here's my question. What would have happened if the Yes poll had shown 80% of the people were happy I was off? Then what would you have done?
I would have ignored them.
Tom?
He's lying.
Oh, you think I would have had Peter removed?
But you would have really, as you like to say, luxuriated in his defeat, and that was the hope.
Thinking,
but I give you credit. You pivoted nicely.
Listen, here's what I do, okay? I don't know if you guys have realized it yet, okay? I'm Sully, okay? I'm trying to steer the ship the right way, land the plane. I thought that it was a can't-lose for us. I thought you were going to win, which would show how much you're appreciated by our listeners, and that's what happened. If for some reason you lost, then I've got 2-3 segments to make fun of you over the next week or so. It's a win-win.
Well,
I'm looking for segments.
Why in the end
I'm looking for things that just make people sit there because I'm reading and they will not turn away. They will not walk away from the speaker because they love this show. They love how we get on each other.
Listen, I was not upset. I could tell that some people thought you were being a really bad guy. I heard something about you going after Andrew yesterday, too. So
yeah, because Andrew ruined your win in the ESPN poll because I said, are you happy that Peter's off today? And that was close, but then he threw in a third option to vote on. Kay's a bad guy for suggesting it. So that, and Don brought up a great point. So that won going away. But the Kay's a bad guy for going for this, right? Those would have all been, yes, we missed Peter votes, and you would have blown away the ESPN thing. So Andrew's to blame for you even coming close in the ESPN poll.
But what's lost in this whole thing is we offered up Peter the opportunity to run it up the poll today. How do you feel about Michael being off and Peter took the high road?
Because he knows that, first of all, most people are going to vote against me. He's a friend, doesn't want to see me be embarrassed.
It would bother you. I know
that.
Thus, the high road.
Nothing bothers. Not the summer of K.
Not post-vax.
No,
PV.
I might even, after the show, are you in New York yet, Peter?
No, I won't be in New York tomorrow.
See, I was going to call you after the show. Let's go to Jacob's Pickles, have something to eat. But, you know.
Well, no, you're not fully vaccinated.
I'm fully vaccinated.
Past Saturday. Right, but I'm not full until the 19th. And by the way,
I mean, if you were willing to take the chance, I was going to go.
Given the recent news of the J&J, I just want to make sure I'm alive and well by the 19th, and then we'll take it from there.
Listen, I don't want to get medical or political. They shut down the J&J for six people with blood clots out of 7 million. I guarantee that every 7 million people in this country, there's 6 people with blood clots without taking a vaccine.
It did seem a little quick, but it still made me nervous. Right. I mean, Dr. Fauci basically came out and said to be mindful of certain symptoms for 2 or 3 weeks after the J&J.
But you don't have those symptoms, so don't worry. You'll be here a long time. By the way, Steve Nash, the Nets coach, said that this wasn't strategic, resting all these players. This is the availability they have. Kevin Durant was not available today because he exhausted himself against the Timberwolves. Okay, I'll play along, Steve.
Why is he playing in an afternoon game against Minnesota? They could have won that game without him and everybody else.
They could have won that game with the three of us coming off the bench.
He played 27 minutes last night.
For no reason.
He was 11 for 16 from
right.
the floor, I think.
Right.
He's playing like perfect basketball right now. Also, you wonder how Jim Harden feels about it.
Yeah,
he's like,
he plays
I regularly
day.
Shoulder the load by myself. Every day. I'm hurt
amazing.
And people can't play.
Just amazing. You know who's joining us in a moment, right? Patrick Ewing.
Is this true?
Well, they told me the big fella's on. That's always been
no.
Patrick's nickname.
No.
It's not Ewing.
Let's tune in
to see which one.
Thank you, Charlie. The Michael K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Chris has been bashing the Yankees a lot lately. Let's see if we can talk him off the ledge. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so we have the Knicks and New Orleans tonight. But after ENN, we have Carlin for an hour leading to the Knick pregame show. So Chris Carlin joins us. And Chris, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I just wanted to make this point that I had teased earlier because I want to get your take on it as well. So Sports Illustrated has a big story on Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
And his dad said, he's not the type of kid that he goes, I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Okay. His high school coach said he could walk away from this tomorrow and be fine. And Trevor Lawrence said, I think it's I'm paraphrasing here. I think it's unfair. You always have to do more. You have to do better. Listen, anybody who plays football is somewhat out of their mind. And if you're a great quarterback, you have to be absolutely obsessed with it. That has to be your reason to wake up and breathe. I mean, Tom Brady continues to train at the age that he's at because Super Bowl or nothing. It's a failure unless he wins the Super Bowl. I mean, did these comments surprise you at all, Chris?
I would say they're not what you want to hear. It's not what you want, especially if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I do wonder how many athletes could get away with saying that and not catch flack over it. I mean, honestly, that's ridiculous to
Can
be
you
saying
imagine
that when you're about
Darnold?
To be the number one pick in the draft and you've been the presumptive number one pick for the last 3 years. And you're saying, I could walk away.
If Darnold or Jones said that, I mean, we'd do 5 hours a day on it for five weeks.
Absolutely. It's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous to make that comment. And that, you know what that is? That's showing or trying to show the world that I'm a different kind of athlete. I'm a different guy. You're going to learn all about how I'm special.
Right.
That's Maybe he is. Is. Maybe he is a different guy.
But I laid back never works out in New York, ever.
No.
Unless you're just
not.
Super special and just win all the time, then it doesn't matter. But when has it ever worked?
Laid back doesn't work in the NFL, Don. Who's great that was laid back? Especially at the quarterback position. Phil Simms was a
Ricky
maniac.
Williams.
Eli Manning was laid back, but he had a burning desire to win. I guess Eli's the closest thing, right?
But Eli wasn't. Eli was just outwardly laid back. Like behind the scenes, you know, he was – you know, firing guys up. He was a fiery guy in the locker room to a degree.
Yep.
Yeah, but after a bad loss, it wasn't like Eli's like, listen, you know who my dad is. You know who my brother is. I can walk away from this. No big deal.
Yeah. I don't need you guys. I'm good. Take care.
No, how'd you like the Yankee game today, Chris?
I tell you what, they look good. They look good. That Corey Kluber signing, Michael, as I told you the other day, move of the offseason.
Don't you have to wait a little long? I know you're going to be really snotty now, but, I mean, you've got to give it
snotty.
A little time.
I don't need to rub it in your face, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Now, in all honesty, Michael, and I think I'll have, you know, Carlin will have my back on this. I'm a fan of Brian Cashman, no question. But the one thing that has been his Achilles heel during his tenure with the Yankees is grooming and finding pitching. It seems like the great pitchers have all come from other organizations or signing. The fact that you built the team with this payroll out to win, and by design, it's, yeah, we're going to have, you know, Kluber and Tyone, you know, get us through here while we're waiting for Severino to come back. When can they actually have somebody that they can bring up and trust and pitch them? Why can't they have confidence in Montgomery? Why can't they have confidence in Garcia? Why do they have to go get guys literally off the scrap heap to be their two and three starters while we're waiting for Severino?
Look at the history. They haven't developed great pitching in a long, long, long time. You want to say Severino? Okay. But he hasn't pitched in a couple of years. Not their fault that he's been hurt. But, you know, even after he got the contract, which was supposed to be a huge bargain, it has not exactly worked out great so far. They haven't developed pitching. The one thing the Yankees have always been brilliant at is hyping their own prospects and then turning them into something else.
A good organization does that. Tampa Bay does it.
Sure. But they actually have good prospects.
No, any trade you make with Tampa Bay, you are really going to get ripped off.
I mean, Wander Franco is the number one prospect in baseball, right?
Well, yeah, they're not going to trade him.
Right, right. No, but I'm saying develop. You know, who have the Yankees developed prospect-wise, period?
Aaron Judge.
Okay, that's fair.
Gary Sanchez.
I'm sorry, you went there second?
Yeah.
Okay. I have another question.
Brett Gardner?
I was following very Brett Gardner, that's right. I was following very closely yesterday the whole Polgate thing, shall we call it.
Polgate, yep.
One question that I did not get answered, and Peter, personally for me, I would find this alarming. I still don't understand the need for the poll in the first place, because you don't strike me as a guy that needed his appearance and, you know, just overall presence on the show to be justified by the public, lo these many years. Is that accurate?
I think that the ascension of the show and the ratings is in direct correlation to when Peter joined. So that is
so. If he is the reason,
right?
Why are we asking the question in the first place?
Because I'm a programming genius. That's why, and I'm looking to make segments, and I believe that talking about this, especially if Peter had lost, would have been gold.
Right. But Gundling screwed you over, is your contention.
No, because Peter would have won. Peter would have won even bigger. He won big in the Yes Network. And by the way, Chris, okay?
Oh, okay.
9,000 people voted.
Yes. Yes,
9,000. That's more people than are going to vote for the New York City mayor in November.
All I did was ask a question. There's no need to get snooty.
Yeah, because you've been very nasty lately. I don't know if I like you
anymore. Stop it. I'm your guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
As you said to the caller yesterday, I'm a delight. And he's no Michael Kay. And you said, yeah, you're right.
There's a certain thing you have to do with Michael for him to really feel he's truly respected by you.
And if Don tells you what it is, he'll never be on the air again.
What is it? I need to.
Don, why don't you tell everybody?
I'll text Chris off the air.
text him right now. Hold on, Michael. 9,000 people voted?
Yeah, it was unbelievable, the turnout. I'm better than any of the Drop Madness stuff.
America loves you.
No, it's like triple Drop Madness.
Because people will come out for something that's polarizing. I mean, look at this last presidential election. More people than ever voted. But when you put Peter Rosenberg on a ballot, people are going to get to the ballot box. They'll wait 9 hours to vote. They want their voices heard.
Peter, your thoughts?
Just don't bring them a snack or water if you're in Georgia. But besides that, you're right. They will get out there and vote.
So you have an hour to just set fire to everything, don't you, Chris, starting at 6:30?
Oh, you don't need my help. They're burning it down anyway.
I just text you the phrase that I use.
Let's see if he gets it, and then we can get his reaction and go to a break.
Okay.
Let's see if you agree.
Accurate. Yeah, I would say that's fair. And
don't you dare think about it.
And there is a maintenance factor to that as well, Don. If you're not, yeah. Okay.
Okay, big fella. So you'll start at 6:30, go for an hour, right? Right into the Nick pregame.
Yeah, normally I'm the guy that's sending text messages, but whatever.
I just want you to know that going forward.
Your text messages get you in trouble.
Yeah. This one might.
And how you will not be able to truly get the respect of Michael for that reason.
Yeah, I guess
and
not.
I'm glad about that.
Michael knows he's my guy.
More than Don?
No, Don's my guy.
Well, then I'm not your guy, am I?
No, you're.
I'm one of your guys.
Yeah, you're one of them.
But Don's the guy.
Don and I have something that you'll never understand.
Well said.
Thank you. I'm excited for this show tonight, and I'm excited for you guys, and I'm excited for Net Sixers tonight too.
You Woo! Would be. All right, Chris Cullen will take over the airwaves on 98.7 at 6:30, and Peter Rosenberg will take over the airwaves right now in just a moment with ENN. So stick around on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.